I got to work, screened my floors, and saw a patient was admitted overnight with multiple gunshot wounds. I reviewed the medical record and went upstairs to see the patient. I remember it was a rainy day, which doesn't happen often in California. The patient was in the corner unit right next to the window. He was intubated and sedated. Nothing I hadn't seen before. It's a common thing in a trauma unit. Actually, that's the norm. Usually, once people were extubated, they'd be transferred to a step-down unit if stable enough. So that part wasn't out of the norm for me. But this patient had been shot multiple times. He made it to the hospital alive, and he made it through surgery. The patient had an open abdomen because they'd been shot so many times in the gut. They were NPO and were getting lots of fluids. At this stage after injury or trauma, there's a lot going on. The body is often in a state of shock, which is a physiological response that affects the entire body, including the GI tract and the ability to feed. But this is not the only step. Getting through the initial phase then moves the patient into the next phase. We're going to talk about the role of the dietitian through the metabolic response to injury. I'm Jana Nickel, and this is the RD Exam Made Easy podcast. Hey there, this is a great topic. In this episode, we're talking about ebb and flow. When I was in my clinical rotation, I was assigned a burn patient for my clinical case study. I've seen internship rotations and programs approach the case study a little differently, but for the internship I was in, I was required to do a PowerPoint presentation covering multiple categories in my slides. I had to talk about the condition I was assigned, and I had to find a patient who had that condition. I also had to chart on them several times. And I had to present my case study to the dietitians, then to my internship director and the other interns in my internship program. The patient I chose had been there for a while. This was before we had electronic medical records, so I had to go to my clinical site one morning at 6 o'clock and sit there in the burn unit and go over all the notes and documentation on my patient. What I remember most was the smell in the burn unit. Burning flesh has a very strong smell. But beyond the smell, my case study has forever impacted me. Despite the horrendous burn they sustained, they were so positive and had such an optimistic outlook. Truly an inspiration. As I was working through my case study, I reviewed it with my preceptor, who was the burn dietitian for the hospital. I needed to go over it with her before I had presented it to my internship class and to the other dietitians. She said, "Jana, you didn't touch on ebb and flow and the metabolic response to trauma. You should talk about that." So I went home that night, did my research, and fixed my slides. I'm so thankful she said that. The information I had already made sense, but the ebb and flow put everything together. I didn't realize that some of the puzzle pieces were actually missing in the story. After discussing the ebb and flow and the metabolic response to injury, my case study was so much better. It's crazy because recently an intern I had told me they still use my case study as an example or a guide to the interns who are assigned burn case studies. I remember thinking at the time that the case study was just for me and my learning. I just needed to do it to pass the internship, and I needed it to finish the clinical rotation. But I didn't realize at the time that my case study would help others down the road. And I certainly, at that point in time, never thought I'd ever need to apply the information I learned because I was never going to work in clinical. Oh, that silly never word. I ended up working in a level one trauma unit. And I gotta tell ya, the research I did for that case study helped me along the way. So I wanted to dedicate an episode to the ebb and flow phase and the overall metabolic response to injury and trauma. because we have a big impact in helping patients through this process. And if you get a question on the RD exam, I want you to be prepared. But first, I want to give a big shout out to four amazing new RDs who just joined the RD community. Seriously, this makes my heart so happy. I love celebrating people's wins. The first shout out is to Elena, who passed the RD exam and is starting her career in a clinical job. So excited for you, Elena. Congratulations. The next RD, doesn't that sound so good, RD? I love it, is Jenna Perrone. So glad she found this podcast and that it helped her across the finish line. I'm so excited to hear where she ends up starting her career. Congratulations, Jenna. The next RD is Sarah, who has a lot of experience in the health field. You're bringing a lot to the field, Sarah. Congratulations. And last, but certainly not least, Nicole Cotta passed the RD exam. She worked so hard to get to where she's at, and she loves doing puzzles. I have that in common. There's something so satisfying when you find the missing piece and the perfect fit. Actually, nutrition is a lot like that. Sometimes you just gotta figure it out. Keep trying different things until it fits. Congratulations, Nicole. This podcast is made for listeners like you. You did all the work to get this far, and I know how much time you spend studying. I've been there. To be able to add a little extra to your studying routine is incredible. So thank you for sharing your wins. Okay, so let's talk about trauma and the metabolic response that happens after the body has an injury. Phase one is the ebb phase, which happens in the first few days after the body's been injured. It's characterized by hypometabolism, low plasma volume, decreased insulin levels, depressed energy expenditure, hypotension, which is low blood pressure, and low cardiac output and shock. There's a lot going on in this phase, I know. Let's look at the opening case and use that patient to break this down. The patient was admitted after they were shot multiple times. The body responded by going into shock. The blood pressure dropped and they lost a lot of blood. The body also distributed all the energy to the vital organs for survival. The body responded by protecting the vital organs, heart and lungs, for example. The low blood pressure needs to be addressed immediately, and one of the strategies is to give fluid. So this stage is where fluid resuscitation happens. So when I saw the patient, they were positive 25 liters. Generally speaking, plus or minus 500 milliliters is considered normal. This patient was positive 25 liters. The first time I saw this, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. I thought maybe someone used the wrong unit. But after seeing so many patients, it became the norm. And this is the normal response after someone's had a trauma. My patient also had an open abdomen, so that added a whole other layer. The patient was also getting lots of pressors. Pressors are medications that help stabilize the blood pressure. And again, the vital organs are a priority. Digesting is not a priority. In fact, the blood moves away from the GI tract to the vital organs for survival. So there's inadequate blood flow to the gut. So when I saw this patient, they'd been fluid resuscitated and weren't yet stable, but it was something we were working on. Once they're stabilized, the body enters the flow phase, which is when the body starts to become hypermetabolic. The energy needs increase because of an increased release of catecholamines. This is also when the body starts to break down protein, so we, as dietitians, need to make sure we give the patient enough protein. Textbook recommendations will say 1.5 to 2 grams per kilo of protein. That's a great starting place, and sometimes it's enough. Oftentimes during this phase, though, the patient needs more because they have a negative nitrogen balance. And you can check the nitrogen balance and make sure you're giving enough protein to keep the patient in positive nitrogen balance. I can tell you in my experience, I've had to give as high as 4 grams per kilo protein, which is an insane amount. That's actually what we give tiny babies in the NICU. Of course, this isn't every patient, but many do, especially if they have wound vacs and are losing body fluid. There's protein lost in the fluid, so that needs to be considered. So at this point, you want to give nutrition to your patient. Most of the time when someone is intubated, they also put in an NG tube, but feeding the patient depends on the situation. This is when collaboration with the interdisciplinary team is so important. The American Society for Parenteral and Enteral Nutrition, which is also known as ASPEN, recommends feeds to initiate within 24 hours if medically cleared to do so. Many times, that might just be a very small amount, as low as 5 milliliters per hour of tube feeding. But there are times when feeding the gut isn't an option, especially if the patient had trauma to their gut. In the opening case study, a patient was shot multiple times that affected the gut. And I'll tell you, I've had patients who, even though they had an injury to the gut, can still start on trophic feeds or small amounts of feeds. But in patients who can't and are expected to be NPO for a while, they might need parenteral nutrition. Either way, in the flow phase, this is when you can see patients lose weight and have muscle breakdown because they become hypermetabolic. When I first started working in trauma, the protocol back then was to check prealbumin on every patient. And this is what I saw almost every single time. Right after the trauma, the prealbumin would be below normal, but not super low. Then we'd check 3 days later, and it would be in the single digits. The physicians would tell me how we need to increase the protein. There was so much going on, though, at that stage, and now we know that prealbumin is not a true marker of nutritional status. I mean, in these cases, these patients do need protein, so it didn't hurt to give them more, but not because of the prealbumin. Checking a 24-hour urinuria nitrogen was a better indicator of protein status, so we ended up doing that more often as we became aware that prealbumin wasn't a good marker. Either way, the point here is that nutrition is a science. We learn as we go, and we need to stay on top of the research. Something you'll also see in these patients is elevated blood sugars. This is a normal response to trauma. Insulin is often suppressed, so managing the blood sugars is important. It's better to have elevated blood sugars, though, than too low of blood sugars. Hypoglycemia is something you want to avoid, so we need to address and keep the elevated blood sugars in mind. This is part of the metabolic response and doesn't mean the patient developed diabetes. You still want to look at the condition and manage the blood sugars as best as possible. Overfeeding is something we try to avoid. On that note, though, I want to talk about overfeeding. It is something we want to try to avoid, especially when someone's intubated, because it can make it harder to wean someone from the vent. We also try to keep it right, but it's better to slightly underfeed than it is to overfeed. So back to the opening case study. Unfortunately, this patient didn't make it, and they never got to the point of being able to start nutrition. They passed away before it was possible to feed. In this case, nutrition wouldn't have saved this patient's life. The damage was too extensive. But this patient was a good example of the body's response to trauma. Let's do a quick recap. Immediately following injury, the body enters the ebb phase of injury or trauma, which is when the body goes into survival mode. The blood pressure drops, which is also called hypotension. Fluid resuscitation is critical and almost characteristic of this phase. After the ebb phase, the patient then transitions into the flow phase, which is characterized by hypermetabolism, meaning the body's nutrient needs increase. the body starts breaking down protein, so the patient needs to be given more protein. A good starting place is 1.5 to 2 grams per kilo, but understand they may need more than that. Nutrition is so critical, and feeding patients after trauma as soon as possible is the goal. And remember, blood sugars are an issue because of the body's response to insulin in the flow phase. So there's a quick recap on ebb and flow. Stay on top of your study game. There's no limits to achieving the success you so deeply desire. Until next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. Share this episode on Instagram at JanaNicoleRD and help spread the word to other RDs-to-be. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time on the RD Exam Made Easy podcast. Bye for now.